this is an application for a non-service connected disability for a tier three employee, Brenda Parker, who passed away while in active service. She had approximately 19.75 years of service credit. She was a medical records technician with the Contra Costa County Health Services Department. Ms. Parker passed away from complications as a result of cancer of the kidney. She was diagnosed in late April, mid-April, and passed away May 2nd. And under the requirements of the non-service connected disability, the medical information was secured related to her, provided to our medical advisor, Dr. Blink, who went through the information to determine whether or not she had a non-service connected, was eligible for a non-service connected disability prior to her death. She submitted the member election form for non-service connected disability retirement in the event of a member's death during active service in February of 2014. Based upon the information and Dr. Blink's recommendation of granting her non-service connected disability her benefit, it would be an option two benefit, which provides her beneficiary with 100% actuarial calculation of 100% of her benefit. The board is asked to make a determination as to whether the member became permanently unable to engage in any substantial gainful employment is the first question, and secondly, if the member election form for a non-service connected disability retirement in event of death of the members of the event of the member's death during active service should be granted. Our recommendation in both cases is that we do recommend that you find Ms. Parker permanently unable to engage in any substantial gainful employment, and that you grant the option to non-service connected benefit to her.
I'll move the recommendation that we find that Ms. Parker was permanently unable to engage in any substantial gainful employment, and to grant a non-service connected disability retirement effective May 2, 2016, and further that we grant the member beneficiary's daughter benefits pursuant to Government Code Section 31762. That's the motion.
Second.
Tim, let me ask you to talk a little bit more about the actuarial equivalency. Sometimes there are caps, there are limits. That is, if the age differential is 10 or more years, it's limited to 10. Do we do that here? How do we calculate that?
The calculation is done based upon the age differential of the member and the beneficiary. And so say you have if it's generally a husband and a wife,
and that's what it's normally aimed for with an expected three-year difference.
Yeah, and I would say, under our unmodified option, there's no actuarial adjustment. It's a pure calculation, and the continuance is at 60% of the benefit. So, for example, if the benefit is $2,000 a month, the continuance would be $1,200 a month. Under the option two, using the same example of a small age differential, there may be an adjustment of the amount. That $2,000 could be reduced, for example, to $1,900, taking both lives into consideration. In the case where we have a large differential, and in this case, I believe it's approximately, say, 21-year age difference, the $2,000 example from the unmodified could be reduced, say, to a $1,600 benefit because of the longer payment to the daughter. And so it's not on a fixed term, it's a larger reduction in the benefit that's awarded.
I guess, Mike, if there was a 30-year difference, it would, instead of 1600 seems high to me as an actuarial equivalency on that, just in that framework, but if it were 30 years, for example, it wouldn't be 1600, it'd be 1400.
Oh, exactly.
In other words, there's no cap imposed in coming up with that equivalency.
Correct. Okay. And I've seen ones where, the reduction in some cases can be as great as, 40% reduction. Again, all depending upon who is selected as the beneficiary in that age differential and doing the equivalency.
Okay. Well, I have a question that's on that subject. Is the continuance, so the new beneficiary, the what's the proper term for the
Daughter, she would be the beneficiary.
Now she's the beneficiary.
Yes.
Now, if she is to marry, does it split and is it shared amongst?
Not under an option two. Under an option two, once you make an election and select your beneficiary, it's kind of locked in.
Okay.
And so, for example, you know, we do have, I think if you go back and look at our consent items, you may see a few option two selected. And in those cases, they're selecting the 100% continuance for their beneficiary. If that beneficiary is or was to pass away prior to the member passing away, there's no option to select another beneficiary. The only case we would pay out any additional funds is if there are still remaining member contributions that could be payable.
Hmm.
But okay. In most cases, it's the funds are exhausted.
Understood.
Any further questions of Tim? All in favor of accepting, would you prefer this be, because we've got two recommendations, two separate votes or a single vote?
It was in the form of
one motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so we have, one motion and one second. Okay, to accept the combined recommendations, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Motion passes unanimously.